Good morning. The book of Psalms, chapter 90. We'll read a few verses there in just a moment. Psalm chapter 90. And as you're turning there, I'd like to just say a very quick welcome to everyone. Quite a few people. We have a lot of our own members out of town, but we also have quite a few visitors in town. I know this is that time of year where people are traveling and spending time with family, and so we have a lot of family members of our family, and we just want to welcome all of you here to worship God together, because while we're together here, we are all part of the family of God, and we're just so happy that all of us can be together this morning. Just a few quick things before we begin with the lesson this morning, and we read a few verses in Psalm 90. We had to cancel services on Wednesday night because of the storms that were coming through. And in doing so, we canceled our reflection service that a lot of people were looking forward to. So we've decided to push that to this next Wednesday. And so if you can be here this next Wednesday, it will be our last service of this year. But this next Wednesday will be that reflection service. And then we want to just make a very quick note about next week. If you can make in your plans, you know, we should always want to be here. But next Sunday is the first Sunday of the year. It's kind of hard to believe that we're already there. But we're going to be, specifically for our church family here, unveiling a lot of new things that are going to be going on throughout this next year. We're going to unveil our new theme. We're going to have new calendars. We're going to have new groups. We're going to have some booklets that we're going to pass out to all of you for the year. We're also going to have a new bulletin. And so there's going to be a lot of new things starting next year and a lot of new ideas. And so if you can be here next week for those things, I would really encourage you to make that effort. And in regards to that, I hope to have the new printer by then. We ordered a new printer. I've been dealing with a broken one for a few months now. That's why bulletins are still black and white. A buddy handed me a picture of Snow White that said, "One day my prince will come." And that's about how I'm feeling. One day my prince will come. But hopefully we'll have all that done for you next week. So just wanted to make those few things known. If you can be here next week, we would love to have you, and I think you would benefit from it. What if this morning I said that I was going to open each one of you a bank account? Some of you might laugh, and I would laugh myself. But let's just pretend for a moment that money was no object, and I was going to open each person here a brand new bank account. And at each night, at 12 midnight, I would put $86,000 in your bank account. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But here's the catch. You can't carry over any balance from day to day. Your $86,000 is what you get for that day. Anything left over, I'll just add to it the next night to make it $86,000 total again. The question is, if each day you got a fresh $86,000, what would you do with it? Would you pay off bills? Would you pay off student loans? Would you pay off your mortgage or your car? Would you help a family member in need? Would you give back to the poor? What would you do if money were no object? I hope all of you would say, I draw out every penny and use it to the best of my ability and as wisely as I can and use it to our advantage. But here's the deal. Each one of us, we don't have a bank account, but all of us have an account just like this, and it's called time. Where each night at midnight, we get 86,400 seconds of our time that we get to choose whatever we want to do with it. Time doesn't carry over to the next day, and once it's gone, it's gone. There are no overdrafts, and the next night at midnight, you get a fresh 86,400 minutes or seconds. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. There's no dipping into tomorrow's time. And whatever we have failed to use at the end of the day, well, that gets lost, and we start over again the next day. If we didn't have enough time, it's not God's fault, but it's our fault for not using the time as wisely as we could. God has entrusted 24 hours in each day to each of us to be wise stewards in His kingdom. I want to read to you these few verses in Psalm 90. And I want us to focus on one verse today specifically, and we'll have a few things to say about this verse. But one verse specifically that Moses brings up here in this psalm. Let's start reading in verse 11. He said, "Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." Now this here is Moses speaking. And I have to just take a moment to look at verse 12, where he says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I want us to think about Moses for just a second. For just a moment, think about his life. Think about everything that he has been through. It's said to believe, and most people will agree, that his life is broken up into three different sections. And they're each 40-year sections, where for the first 40 years of his life, he lived as a prince in Egypt. And then the next 40 years of his life, he fled from Egypt and he lived in Midian as a shepherd. And then the next 40 years was him going and retrieving the people of Egypt and wandering around and eventually dying in the wilderness. And so you had these about a give or take, depending on what you read and who you talk to, 120 years of Moses' life. And you think of everything that he saw and everything he experienced in his life. You think of the riches and the glory he experienced while living in Egypt as a prince. You think of what he learned and the things he saw in Midian as he was tending his sheep. You think of what he saw in the burning bush. You think of the plagues. He saw 10 plagues, the things that we can only dream about seeing. He saw God's power directly afflicting the Egyptians. He saw God lead his people out of Egypt as a pillar of fire and as a pillar of cloud. He saw water stand up as two great walls so that him and the Israelites can pass through on dry land. He saw the promised land, never went into it, but he saw it. He saw God provide for the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. He saw an entire generation die off because they made one fatal mistake. He saw the promised land for a brief moment, but himself was not able to step foot into it. You think of everything that he experienced. You think of everything that he saw. And here I believe he's towards the end of his life, and he's talking about the anger. He's talking about all these things that he has seen God do, and he has seen man do to God. And he says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." He wanted the Lord to teach him to number his days. Here's the one fatal mistake I think every single one of us have made at some point, and maybe some of us still believe. And we think that we are promised tomorrow. We think that we are promised to grow old. We think that we are promised every good thing that happens in life. We think that we are promised all the time that I deserve in this world. Moses understood that's not always the case. And because of that, he says, "Teach us to number our days." Teach us to keep in mind, one, that God is in charge. Two, that I'm not in charge. And three, I might not always get what I want or maybe what I think I deserve. And Moses understood that more than anybody else. And so he says, "Teach me to number my days that I may gain wisdom in my heart." How do we number our days? How do we take the time that God has given us? One, we don't know how much time God has given us, and that's a fact that we can read about in scriptures. But how do we redeem the time that God has given us? How small, how little time he's given us, or how great of time that he's given us? Some of us may live to 80, 90, and maybe even close to 100 years old, while some of you might not even make it out of your 20s or 30s. And that's just the sad reality. Some kids might not make it into adulthood. And all of us might not make it to tomorrow, depending on when the Lord decides to come back. And so with the little time that we have left, in the grand scheme of eternity, how do we redeem the time here? We're in the process of counting down the final days of the year. And this is about the time of year where we start thinking about all the wonderful things and maybe even all the bad things that have happened this past year. And the bulletin article talks about 3, 2, 1. We're going to start counting down. And I believe on Thursday night, we're going to all watch that ball drop. And we're going to count down from 10 to 9 to 8. And we're going to be counting down the precious few seconds we have here left in this year. All under the assumption that when that ball hits the bottom and when we get to zero, there'll be fireworks, confetti, and we start counting from 1 on the other side. But I ask this question, and to me it's a sobering question. What if that ball in Times Square never gets to the bottom? What if as we're counting, the Lord comes back? Or something happens to you, or whatever the situation is. What if instead of counting down the last few seconds of the year, what if you could find out that you were counting down the last few seconds of life? Would it make you look back and reflect a little differently? Would it make us think, did I redeem the time God has given me properly? We always say time is money. And if time is money in this world, what is time to God, an eternal God who gives us a time to live here on this earth? Have we wasted the time God has given us, or have we been productive? How do we redeem our time? I want to focus on just a few things very quickly this morning as we wrap up this year and as we look forward, if the Lord wills, to next year and to next Sunday as we make a step forward as a congregation. But how do we redeem our time in a world that so often surrounds us with distractions? How do we redeem our time for God when we're told to worship God and give everything to God? How do we redeem our time properly when we are surrounded by a world of sin and darkness? How do we use our time wisely? How do we find ourselves being better servants and better stewards of God? God demands that in all things we do, we praise Him in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And so this morning I want to give us a couple points, most of which you've probably already started thinking about, because some of these are the big points as we start to make New Year's resolutions. Some of these are the big points that we say, I need to do more of this. I need to do less of this. I need more of this in my life. And we start making these little resolutions. But I want to just look at a few things on how we can redeem our time and use our time wisely, the time that God has given us. The first thing I want to look at this morning is just to look at what it means to redeem. When we're redeeming our time, it means to convert something into value. And we already mentioned this verse, but I want to read it. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So many times we forget that. So many times we say, when I'm at services, I will give my all to the Father. When I'm in Bible class, or when I'm at a men's study or a ladies' study, or when I'm with people from church, I will give my all in the name of the Lord Jesus, but not in whatever we do. And what does that look like? To where in whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father through Him. And the first thing that we need to understand in redeeming our time, there's nothing better to do with our time than simply pray. Now this is, to me, something preachers throw out. Where when people say, and I've made this point before, but when people say, I'm struggling spiritually, well, just pray. I need help with this certain situation, well, just pray. Or even if you're not a teacher or a preacher, you've never used that point, you've probably said something along these lines. If you know someone is struggling with something, if you know someone is hurting, you say, I'll pray for you. But then we go home and we never pray for them. Is that redeeming our time wisely? To just pray? Or is there more meaning in prayer than I'll just pray? Or all you need to do is just pray more? Is it the amount of prayer? As some will argue from this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. You just need to pray more. The more you pray, the better you'll be. In some cases, I think that's true. But in a lot of cases, we can pray things till the cows come home and never make an impact in my relationship with myself and God. And if we're going to redeem our time wisely, we're not only going to pray, but we're going to pray meaningful prayers. We're not going to pray without ceasing, as some suggest that we should just pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And some people and some religions will devote themselves to days of prayer because of this verse and the mindset behind it. But this verse is not saying that you need to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week praying, but instead it means that our attitude, our mindset should be in everything we go to God in prayer. Because I think sometimes we forget exactly what the avenue of prayer really is. I one time asked a Bible class, what is prayer? And they said, talking with God. That's typically the answer that we give and we get from certain people. What is prayer? Well, talking with God. And sometimes we just leave it at that. Prayer is talking with God. And the reason we it kind of loses significance over time is because we have things called cell phones. And anytime we want to talk with somebody, all we have to do is pick up a phone and we can hear their voice in a matter of seconds. And so talking to people just doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. Because we can talk to people all day, any day. We can talk to people across the country. In fact, on Christmas Day, we not only called them on the phone, but we were able to see my parents in California through Skype. And so talking to people, to us, is not such a big deal anymore. But imagine back then, back in the Bible times, and even back not so long ago in this country, where we didn't have phones. And they didn't have Skype, and they didn't have things. And so talking to someone face-to-face, sometimes you would go months, you would go years without seeing a family member or a friend face-to-face. And when they got to talk to that person, it meant something. It was significant. So when we talk to God, it's not just a matter of we're picking up a phone and calling a friend. But when we talk to God, there should be meaning behind it. It should be significant. There should be passion behind our prayers. Prayer is a time where we can just sit down, seclude ourselves from the distractions of this world, and talk to our Heavenly Father. And sometimes I think we forget who we're talking to. I understand we sing songs like, I have a friend in Jesus, but God is more than just a friend that we talk to on Skype or on Facebook. He is our Heavenly Father, and through His mediator, the Son, we can speak to Him directly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." And through this avenue of prayer, we get to talk with our Father who is in a secret place, who's in heaven, and He'll reward us openly. And I think sometimes we take this for granted. And the time we spend here can be used much wiser if we just simply take the time and seclude ourselves for just a few moments each day and speak to our Heavenly Father. Praying is one of the best things we can do. Many people either don't pray or forget to pray because we say that we're busy, we have busy schedules, busy lives, that we have kids to keep up with, schedules to keep up with, and all these other things that eat away at our time. But I think of someone like Daniel. We talked about Daniel last week. And last week when we looked at Daniel, we said that for 30 days, King Darius signed a decree that said that you can no longer pray to anybody but himself, the king. Someone texted me this week and they said, they said that I had never thought about this before. That the decree was only for 30 days. Remember I mentioned that last week in our lesson? The decree was only for 30 days. All Daniel had to do was say, I won't pray for 30 days. And then after the decree is done and over with, I'll just start praying again. But he didn't make that decision. He made the decision of prayer meant so much to him, 30 days, and the opportunity of being in the lion's den was not going to stop him from speaking to his Heavenly Father. I mentioned that to Brooke. I said, have you ever seen that before? And in fact, that's something that I had never seen until I had started studying for the lesson last week, that it was only for 30 days. And Brooke said, I wonder how many of us have gone 30 days without praying, even when there's been no threat of a lion's den. Shamefully, and I'd have to admit, I'm in that group. Because, here's a list of excuses. Because I have a job. because I have a family, because I have two kids under the age of three, and most of you know how that is. And by the end of the day, all you want to do is crawl into bed and go to sleep, because guess what's going to happen at 6 o'clock the next morning? Those kids are going to be up, and you start the day all over again. And so it's very easy to just not pray. And how many of us have gone 30 days without praying by choice? Yet Daniel, when he was faced with the lion's den, made the decision in his heart, I'm not going 30 days without speaking to my heavenly Father. You talk about redeeming the time. Here's someone that realized if he prayed to his God and broke the decree of King Darius, his time would be cut short by being thrown into a lion's den. And I'm spitballing here, but I think the context explains it perfectly. He would rather spend the short time he had left praying to God than spending 30 days disconnected from his heavenly Father. And I think that's safe to say from the context of the story of Daniel as we looked at last week. Are we redeeming our time properly? Are we too busy for prayer? Are we too busy for God? And in regards to that, in regards to prayer, the next verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, I think these two go hand in hand, was the idea of, in everything, are we giving thanks? Are we simply giving thanks in everything that we do? Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Right after it says, pray without ceasing. In verse 18 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Can you imagine what life would be like, what your life would be like, what the world would be like if we simply did these two things with our time? If in all of our spare time we were either praying to God or giving thanks to God, because that's the will that He has put in us. That's what He wanted us to do. He wanted us to give thanks or to pray without ceasing and to give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Can you imagine what life would be like if we redeemed our time, if we used our time doing these two things? You know, when you think about it, we are so blessed to have so many different things here. If we just sit and really think about everything we have here on earth, we are truly blessed. Most of us came from a nice warm home. Some of you might be a little chilly this morning because our heater is still out. But we're on comfy pews. We get to look at a nice pretty projector. You get to sing from songbooks. And something that we all take for granted, most of you probably have a Bible in your hand or on your lap or sitting next to you this morning. And all these are things that congregations all over the world don't have. But yet I doubt, and myself included, until I just brought it up, I doubt any of us thought of those things this morning as we walked into this building. Have we given thanks for the little things? We give thanks for our families. We give thanks for cars. We give thanks for houses. We give thanks for the big things in life. But how many of us, just in the time, as we're sitting there, as we're daydreaming, as we're thinking at work, how many of us just pray to God and just say thank you for all the things that we have here in this life? Psalm 105 and verse 1, if you want to turn there, if you're still in the book of Psalms. Psalm 105 and verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. We must take the time to thank the Lord for everything He has given us. We are told to give thanks for the one who gave all this to us. I'm reminded of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 14, where Jesus healed 10 lepers. They all wanted to be healed, but only one came back and said thank you. And Jesus asked a heart-wrenching question. He says, were there not 10 of you, where are the other 9? Those 10 lepers, when you talk about time and redeeming their time, Those 10 lepers had already spent probably so much time away from their friends and family and away from their jobs and away from their lifestyle that all they could think about was getting back to their friends and their family. But you talk about redeeming your time wisely. One person said, "My family can wait. My life back home can wait. I need to go back and give thanks to the person that did this for me." And look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 9. He says, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." That person, because he took the time to do something that the others didn't, and that was give thanks, received something the others didn't. And I think forgiveness of sins. The others were made well physically, just like this one was. This one was made well spiritually because of his faith. All because he took the time to simply give thanks to the person who gave him everything. We must take the time to thank the Lord for everything that he has given us. The third thing I want to suggest to you this morning is the idea of just simply loving the Lord. One of the greatest ways to redeem our time is to not only love the Lord, which I would say all of us have made that decision to love the Lord and to follow the Lord, but how many of us show Him that love on a daily basis? In getting ready for marriage, Brooke and I did a lot of books together and some marriage books and just getting ready, and we read quite a few secular books along with some Bible-based books about marriage and how to treat each other and some things that will happen in the marriage. And I'm sure some of you did the same thing before you were married. But one thing that always caught me in almost every single book we read, and it's something that I fall short on all the time, and it's something that along the lines of this. It's one thing to tell your spouse you love them. It's another thing to show your spouse you love them. And sometimes we fall into that trap with the Lord. We all love the Lord. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't love the Lord. But sometimes it's easy to fall into the trap of simply saying it and not showing it. You know, it's easy to say that we love things in life. You can love a car, you can love a sport, you can love a sports team, you can love a TV show, you can love cooking, you could love any number of things. But I want to ask you just for a moment, what is your passion? All of us have a passion, something that we just absolutely love, that we have a passion for, we have a yearning for. If you know anything about me, my passion is baseball and the Los Angeles Dodgers. I've said this before, but I can tell you what's going on during the season. I can probably tell you who's leading in home runs, who's leading in batting average, who our good players are, who we need to get rid of. I can tell you anything about the Dodgers. And even in the off season, I tell Brooke all the time, just because baseball's over doesn't mean it's over, because now the off season starts, and that's sometimes half the fun. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And for some of you, it might be Alabama or Auburn. You're so passionate, and I know because I hear about it all the time. It's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's everywhere. But we all have something. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's helping others. Maybe it is a sports team. Maybe it's reading. Maybe whatever it is, you all have something that you like. And chances are, the people that know you best, the people that are closest to you, know your passion. Why is that? Probably because we talk about our passion. Probably because, for me, when baseball season comes around, Brooke always, I'm checking my phone for scores, I'm checking for updates, because it's my passion. And so, of course, anyone that knows me knows I'm a Dodger fan. And if your passion is truly your passion, people that are close to you and know you, they're going to know that's your passion. Here's my question, and here's my point with all this. How many people that know you know that you love God? How many people that know me can say, yeah, that person loves God? Why? Because it's his passion. Not just as his passion, he talks about him all the time. We don't have t-shirts to wear, but you could just tell that he's wearing the name of Christ. You could tell he loves God. You could tell he loves worshiping God. You can tell he loves praying to God. You can tell he loves everything God has given him. You can just tell God is his passion. How many people can say that about us? Because it's one thing for us just to say we love God. It's a completely different thing for us to live it. Matthew said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he would say, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." It's said that these three things are the makeup of every human being. We all have a heart, we all have a mind, and those two things dictate the things we do in life. Our heart and soul, or our heart and our mind drive us forward, but our soul makes us who we are, is what one writer said. And so here Jesus says, here's the three things, your heart, your soul, and your mind, the three things that define every human being, and you should love God with every single ounce of your heart, soul, and mind. He should be your passion. He should be the thing that you talk about every day. He should be the person you go to when you're in trouble. He should be the person you try to talk to in prayer, that you thank for everything. When the love of God fills our hearts, we can truly start redeeming our time wisely. One person said that when the love of God fills our hearts, no longer will we be tempted by the lusts of this world, because we will only have our hearts filled with the love of God. Hearts full of the love of God have no room for anything else. Hearts that love God will love others, as is the second greatest command. Hearts that love God will treat other people kindly, even if maybe they're not our favorite person. Hearts full of the love of God will not talk about other people behind their backs. Hearts full of the love of God will make every effort to do everything they can to serve God and to love God. Hearts full of the love of God will redeem their time doing things for the kingdom of God, not wasting the time on the trials of this world, but serving God and doing everything they do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, in regards to the same idea, when we love God, we're going to learn to praise Him in all we do. If we go back to that verse in Colossians that said, "In everything we do, do in the name of the Lord." I want to read to you this verse in Psalm 117, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples, for His merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." It doesn't take long to read through the Psalms and to start understanding the kind of praise and love and admiration that people had for the Lord. And if there's one thing we can do as we close out this year and as we talk about the time that we have left, the greatest deposit we can make, or the greatest investment we can make, is learning to put God first, is learning to praise Him in all that we do. And when we can do that, put God ahead of everything else in our busy schedules, no matter how many people make fun of us, or how many people look at us or laugh at us, or no matter how many people want to say how different we are for doing X, Y, or Z, when we can learn to do that, we can learn to truly redeem the time God has given us. I think of someone like Job, who lost everything. Lost his family, lost his livestock, his house, his wealth, his friends, even down to his diseases, where he was scraping himself with shards of a clay pot. And the whole time people were telling him that God did this to him, the whole time that all these distractions should have distracted him from serving God, Job knew that God was still on his side, that God still loved him, and he praised Him. And this is the attitude that we should have every single day of our lives. That no matter what happens to us here, no matter what Satan throws at us here, we have learned to praise God in everything we do. I want us all to turn to Colossians 3:17 again. It appeared on the screen at the very beginning, but I want us all to read it together. As we count down the days, and as we count down the minutes and seconds left in this year, As we think about what little time or great time we have left here on this planet, we need to realize that we are but a speck in eternity. And what we do here determines where we spend eternity. And so Paul says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, I think about one more story in this book, and that's Jesus. Jesus understood what time really meant. Jesus understood that as He came here, His time on earth was limited. And I believe He purposed in His heart that the little time He had here with His people, He would make the most of it. And so the little time He had here, we are still talking about Him 2,000 years later. He redeemed His time because He understood the little time here is the difference between spending eternity with our Father or without Him. And so because of that, Jesus was brutally murdered. And He was beaten and mocked, and He was scourged, and He walked through the streets in shame. He was nailed to a cross where He would die. He was stabbed in the side where fluids and blood would rush out. And the great question is, why did He go through all of this? And it's because 3 days later, He knew that this world could not hold Him. And so He would raise up, and He would go back to heaven. And He would spend eternity with His heavenly Father. And not just that, but He would make sure that you and I had a way to spend eternity with them. He said in John chapter 14, I am going to prepare a place for you, that there where I go, you may be also. You know, Jesus gave more than just 30-something years out of His life to the cause of the kingdom. But He gave His life. He gave His sweat, His blood, and His tears. What are we giving Jesus? What kind of time are we giving Him? And I want us just to think this morning, in the little time we have left, how am I spending my time in God's kingdom? Am I choosing to give my time to God? Am I choosing to redeem my time in the best way I know how in God's kingdom? Am I coming to services? Not just Sunday morning. But you want to talk about redeeming your time. You want to talk about praying and studying the Word of God. There's an opportunity to do that, not just on Sunday morning, but Sunday night, Wednesday night as well. And as we'll look at next week, so many other opportunities that this church offers to redeem your time wisely. To spend it with God. To spend it with His people. Are you redeeming your time by the petty little things in this world? Little arguments, little quibbles here and there. Are you redeeming your time cultivating love and encouraging one another, stirring up love and good works, as we read about in Hebrews? Are we redeeming our time talking to our Heavenly Father? Talking about our Heavenly Father? Are we redeeming our time showing everybody the love of God, the love of Christ, and praising God? Are we redeeming our time by making God our passion? And by showing others how much time eternity will be. If you're here this morning and you feel like you have not redeemed your time wisely, or you want to start redeeming your time, you want to start punching that ticket to heaven, there's a way to do so. And the first thing that you need to do is you need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to be buried in the waters of baptism. You need to repent of your past sins and start living a new life, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6. Maybe you're here this morning and you've decided that, you know, you've made those decisions, you've started living your life for God, but you haven't been redeeming the time wisely enough, and you want to start over. Here's the good news. Pray to God. Ask for forgiveness. Come forward, let us pray with you. Start redeeming your time. You can always, as I said, you get an extra 86,400 seconds starting tonight at midnight. The same thing will happen the next day if the Lord wills. so that we can redeem our time wisely for Him. If you need anything this morning, don't wait a second longer. Redeem your time now. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.